bringing out some basketball shoes, and they look pretty good for the record. They look pretty cool. Then I saw the technology behind it, essentially doing the Back to the Future. They automatically lace up. So I'm saying to myself, double cool. All right. Hot looking design. Hot looking, you know, gadget thing going on. They finally bring in the automatic laces. Then I saw the price, $350. I'm like, ugh. $350 for a pair of basketball shoes. For anybody that's played basketball, I mean, those shoes, any shoe after a few months of playing, let's say you play 2 or 3 times a week, I mean, they're worn out. So, I mean, I don't know. These kids, $350, I guess that's still a lot of money for me. You know, like I can push 100. I could push 100 depending on the model of the type, right? And they'll last me for a long time. I have my Penny Hardaway 2s, which is my favorite shoe, basketball shoe. And I had them there for so long, they started rotting out. From what I hear is that if you leave them in the box and you don't wear them, basically if you don't use them, you lose them. All right. That's interesting to know. So, yeah, I can't shell out $350 for a pair of shoes. They look good, though. I'm not going to lie. I mean, can you imagine the profit margin Nike's making on those? $350. And then in a couple years, they'll end up at the outlet stores for, let's just say, $185, right? So then the margin, imagine the margin that Nike's putting on it. If I could find them at the outlet store for maybe a third of the price. Come on, man. You know, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling, Nike? I know you're going ahead and producing those at $2 over in China. Maybe $5 after paying taxes and all that stuff. And then China, you know, the Chinese come out with their own company, Wikey, which they're notorious for doing. They basically let you come in their country, use their people and their labor, but intellectual property, that doesn't fly here, bro. I'm taking that and then some. You know, they did that to Under Armour. It's so hilarious. Same logo and everything, which is a different name. But that was pretty interesting. But I saw on those headlines, man, it was kind of sad. It got me spinning a little bit. It said Rihanna is allegedly suing her father for using the Fenty name to reportedly profit off of the brand's trademark and separate business venture. And it looks like the dad went ahead and used the name of a coin, the trademark name that Rihanna is a very popular singer in our time, mostly in R&B and pop music. Very good at what she does and very successful. And it seems that her dad went ahead and started his own business using some of the things that his daughter has. And stuff like that just makes me shake my head because it goes back to parenting, right? And in essence, how do you view your child? Do you view your child as a lottery ticket? Or do you view your child as somebody that you want to see grow and live a happy life? Do you feel entitled? Do you feel like they owe you some things if they're having a better life than you? Or if they're having some sort of success? That's a weird one for me. And when I see things like this, where, I mean, you're having to go to the point where you have to sue your own parents. Eesh, that's pretty ugly there. I don't know. I don't like that at all. And that just lets me know how, when these people out there are making it on their own and they don't have that relationship with their parents. Because I've seen that from people I've known and talked to, that when they have money, you have people coming out of the woodworks and trying to reconnect. It's really weird how we are as humans. When we can feel that we can get something from someone, we'll go ahead and reconnect. But in this case, it was a parent. I mean, I know she will go back to the islands. That's where she's from. I want to say she's from Bermuda. But yeah, it's very weird, man, seeing that parent-child dynamic where they feel entitled or they feel like they have to profit from their children. And that's a very ugly thing to look at. I mean, look at the whole scenario with R. Kelly. this is something that's been going on. I haven't talked about it. It's too ugly. It's very evident to me that he is a monger, a person that has an affliction for young girls under 16, you know, and where are the parents at? You know, where are the parents at in all of this? How are they allowing this to happen with R. Kelly? You know, that's kind of my thing. It's like, I don't get that whatsoever. It's really weird, man, how these parents just turn a blind eye. And I'm not saying that going to the R. Kelly thing, like those parents, all of them turned a blind eye. But I mean, you got to have some that you knew what you were getting into when your child is hanging out with somebody young. And that's not a good look. I don't care how talented they are. And it just goes to show you, R. Kelly, very social, I don't know what the word, but he was very smart because he never targeted any white girls. They were all black or Spanish. He knew there was this functionality there, and his notoriety and success would have some parents looking for some bread, being okay with it. Those are the reports that are saying from him dealing with Aaliyah, which was a singer in his time. And she was underage when they got married. It's unbelievable, man. Just that stuff and how these parents just turned a blind eye, right? I mean, but yeah, you don't go after white girls. I remember this guy in Lakeland when I grew up. He was one of the guys I played basketball with. He was an admin staff member over at a high school in town. And he got arrested for having a relationship with somebody in high school. I want to say she was 17 or going to be 18. White girl. Yeah, they threw the book at him. 30 years. 30 years, that monster that went ahead because he was dealing with underage girls. But no, but not R. Kelly. R. Kelly knew that dealing with black girls and dealing with Spanish girls was the ticket for him to do what he really wanted to do, and very manipulative. And it's very ugly. And parents allow that to happen. I'm not saying you don't have a rebel within the midst, right? I mean, we all know of stories of children doing things behind the parents' back. But it's another thing when you know there's parents out there that view their kids as the golden ticket. I mean, I've talked to people where they don't even know it. And yeah, they're looking at their kid as a trophy kid. They're looking at the kid as the way out, as the million-dollar success story. And I scratch my head on that because I don't understand how can you think of your children that way as far as having them be the scapegoat or the outlet for you to succeed. Like, you know, I'm going to have kids and they're going to provide for me. I don't understand that. It's a really weird level of entitlement that I see from parents, and especially in the poor sector. And I was hearing about that in a podcast. It was a couple of guys, you know, a black podcast, black folks, and they were talking about how, you know, they don't even, they're such demonstrative and, you know, like a crab of barrels mentality in the black community that it just hinders their ability to grow and expand and work together. And he was talking about the fact that he's very happy that he's able to provide nepotism within his businesses to his children, because that's something that we rarely have in the minority sector of the United States, meaning having kids growing up in a family where there's business owned or there's some shenanigans where they own stuff and then they're able to pass it down to the children. Like, we don't have that in particular in the black community and Spanish communities. It's getting better. Absolutely making awesome strides on that. I mean, if you think about it, it was in the 1960s when they were able to say, you know what, you're not separated equal, we're all equal. So I think, you know, we're making strides, but you still have some, I guess, remnants from those moments and those times. And we're still moving forward with it. But it's very good to see that as far as the success of people of color, but not this way, not when it comes to the parents viewing their kids. And when you see Rihanna suing her dad because he's trying to do his own thing, you know, with intellectual property, that's his daughter's. I don't know if my daughter was doing her thing and making money, I'd be helping her. I was actually thinking about that today. because, you know, in that podcast, they're talking about, you know, I don't want to put my child through $60,000 a year education for them to learn how to be programmed and go work for somebody. And all these people where I could just go ahead and have her work for me. I'll pay her a salary of $60,000 and she could learn all the things that I'm doing currently with my business, or she could apply her own ideas and do whatever it is that she wants to do. Like, I feel that's more educational. That's what this guy was saying. I'm like, you know what? Right on. I agree. You know, I have student loan debt. I think many of us do. And that's just the way it is, though. You know, and that's the way we were taught, because that was the way to get out, education. But now with all of this abundance of information, you can do it on your own. And that's where I don't understand how the parents can't get behind their children and support them and whatever it is they want to do. Rihanna, man, look, she's doing her thing, beautiful, got a lot going on. And as a dad, you know, if you need a hand down or an idea, just create your own idea, man. But just don't leech off your child's name. You know, that's her thing. I'll be happy for her, man. My daughter wants to do stuff like that. I'd be like, shoot, how can I help you, girl? In any way, shape, or form, man, I'll work for free. You know, as long as I have my rent paid for and my meals paid for, I'm good to go. But it's a shame, right, when we have such things happening. Oh, man, like a lawsuit. That just stinks, man. That's like in the chest. Like, oh, that hurts right there, man, because that just lets you know that the parents, or in this case, the dad, man, he's all about getting money. It's like, my child made it. You better pay me back reparations, you know. It's one thing to have an expectation, right? Like, I know, like, with my mom and many other parents out there, just feel like a level of entitlement. You know, you're my child. You do as I say. You do, you know, even at an old age, you know, you're supposed to take care of me. Like, this expectation of reverse parenting that's going on. And it's just very weird to see that. But it's another thing to go ahead and expect any monetary return when your child is doing what he or she is supposed to be doing, which is having a better life than you were. That's basically what it comes down to. When we have children, we want them to have a better experience and a better life, and then and set them up for future generations. Simple as that. And, oh, man, it's just such a shame, man. It just saddens me that we have people, and this is stuff that's not going to change. This is stuff that's going to be going on. As long as our species is here, and until an asteroid hits us, you know, we're not going to get it together.